As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to talk about a new movie?
Check.
Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
Yeah, it worked, didn't it?
It did.
Woo! Corey, it has been a long time.
A little too long, and I apologize.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, I'm a little hacked off. I'm just kidding. It's just good to see your face, man. It's good to see anybody these days.
She is a singer, songwriter, worship leader, church staff member, author, wife, mother, and super cool cat. My guest is Laura Story.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
Let's start by saying, my gosh, it is great to see your face once again.
You too, man. It has been a while. So the last time I was supposed to see you, I think it was like a Momentum CMB something, and there was a hurricane.
Yes.
Yeah. Or some crazy tsunami something. And everyone else canceled. You know what? We still went. I was the only one there. Took my family, like literally the only one there. We walked through Disney World. Just us. We're only crazy ones.
Here's my two great memories of Laura Story moments. One, we had dinner together pre-children. And yeah. I got to meet your husband. And I think we had a delightful afternoon, if I remember that well. One time, I was skipping out on a conference workshop to go swimming, and you showed up swimming as well. And I had this moment of, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be in there. She sees me.
It was like two middle school kids cutting class together.
You were supposed to be somewhere too, more than likely, but we were ministering to one another. We were hearing the needs of both and, you know, blessing others that were swimming around us. Yeah, that's what was
honestly,
happening.
Honestly, Corey, it's their fault. If they wanted us to attend the meetings, they wouldn't have conferences in Florida. They'd have it like in Flint, Michigan. They need to not surround us with so much like temptation. Like, you really think I'm going to sit in your seminar if there's this pool? Yeah. Anyway, that I kind of feel like they brought it on themselves.
Question number one, where currently is your 2012 Grammy for Blessings? Where is it?
Oh, wow. It's at my pastor's house. I know this is going to sound super cheesy. The year, okay, I'm going deep really quick. The year that I won that Grammy, it was funny that it was a year of tremendous like outward success, but it was such a hard year for me personally. Some tough marriage struggles, tough infertility struggles that I truly, first of all, it just was a great reminder that everybody in the world can be telling you how great you're doing, but if it's not true, it's just not true. Like God sees your heart. But it was my church that got me through it. And so when I won the Grammy, I kind of thought, who am I kidding? This goes to Perimeter Church. I don't even deserve this thing. And so I literally just gave it to the pastor. I was like, this is for the church.
Have you checked on it? Is it doing okay? Is he taking care of it?
I think he sold it. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. No. He's doing great. He's so funny because he's like, oh, that's just my Grammy up there on my mantle.
Let's go back in time. Tell me about the band. Is it Siler's Bald?
Yes.
Did I say that
kind
right?
Of an unfortunate, yeah, it's a kind of an unfortunate name. Great band. We met in college. I had played string bass since I was about 10 years old, I think, and had always played symphony, classical music, and then met some guys my sophomore year in college that had just started a band and they needed a bass player. And it was around the, you would remember this age. Cademan's Call was huge.
Yes.
And so we were kind of a Cademan's Call cover band, wannabe Cademan's Call band. They asked me if I would do a gig with them. And I thought, I've never done, that's probably the coolest thing anyone's ever asked me to do. And even though I don't really know how to do a gig with you, I thought, I'm just going to do it. We'll see what happens. So I was with them for about 5 years, and golly, great, great guys, and really formative in introducing me to music ministry, introducing me to contemporary Christian music. I was raised in a church that was all hymns all the time, every now and then, you know, a Gaither praise chorus, but it was my first time of really seeing what we could proclaim the truths of God in a contemporary form. And it was just, yeah, it was a great experience.
Were you playing an upright bass? I'm holding my hands vertically, or were you doing a horizontal way up here?
So I played upright bass.
Wow.
I think every now and then I would play electric bass. Every now and then I played piano also. I wasn't one of the lead singers. I was just kind of in the background. You know, as a classical string bass player, we're much more comfortable in the very back of the ensemble. It was interesting because, you know, the years after I left the band and I kept writing music, I felt like God was gently pushing me more towards the front of the stage, which was kind of, it was an interesting experience. I was reminded that, you know, that his plans for us, it's not necessarily what we're comfortable with. It's that he's going to, what's that phrase? It's he doesn't always call the equipped, but he'll always equip the called. And I felt like that very much in my singing ministry. It's funny because over the years, I've toured with people like Mandisa, who can just do vocal acrobatics. And then here I am with my like folk singer, six note range, you know, but I feel like God gave me the voice that I needed to deliver the truth that he wanted me to deliver. So I'm thankful for that.
Follow up question. Did the band provide you with the upright bass, or did you have to bring that yourself?
No, I had to bring it myself and I had to lug it around.
Oof.
And I was like a little bit of a feminist back then. Like I was, no, I don't need your help lugging this around. The reason I even picked upright bass, I remember my teacher in fourth grade telling me, you can pick any string instrument to learn except upright bass because girls don't play bass. And I thought, well, I'm going to show you. In hindsight, I think she really did show me because I'm the one that ended up having to carry it around for the next, you know, 20, 30 years.
Do you still play?
I do. And in college, I played bluegrass and I don't play as much as I wish I did. I'm like, we're doing a kind of a folksy acoustic Easter sunrise service this year. I'm going to bring out the string bass and, you know, it's a cool thing to add to any acoustic set.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song. Stars in the sky, and you know them by name.
Was Indescribable the game changer for you?
Yeah, it was definitely the first step. And it was, so the band Siler's Bald left it, the guy that was managing us, he was like, hey, I'd still love to pitch some of your songs to some people. And he pitched Indescribable to just about everyone that there was to pitch a song to. And no one wanted to record it. They all said, man, what a sweet song that little girl wrote, you know, because I was 20. Their biggest pushback was, but radio will never play worship. Okay, so this is 20 years ago. Radio would never play worship. It's just so ironic now. And finally, I had my buddy, Ed Cash, who I had done Young Life stuff with, who now is, what is it, We the Kingdom, he and his daughter, and that's who we listen to around our house. That's who my kids dance around and sing to. Chris Tomlin was recording with him and needed one more song. It was his very first album, and it was before Chris Tomlin was Chris Tomlin, you know. And he just was a guy with a guitar, first album, first radio single, and yeah, just really grateful. Really honored that he picked my song because he's such a great songwriter. To have a great songwriter pick one of my worship songs for their first one out of the gate, it was pretty humbling.
Do you still talk to him? Is there a connection there at all, or is it been a while?
Man, it has been a while. Mostly just because I don't. It's funny because we were in the same town and we had some crossover when he was here. But honestly, I stay so busy with my kids and my church. There are some people I stay connected with, but not a ton of people.
What's it like when another artist performs your song, whether it be you're at a church service and something is sung that's yours, or a Chris Tomlin moment and you hear it on the radio? What is that like for an artist?
The first thing that you just said made me think of a story. This was a long time. It was right after I'd written Blessings, and I got a call, and I answered and I said, hello. Yeah, I didn't recognize the number. Hello. He said, hey, Laura, this is Michael W. Smith. And I laughed and I was like, okay, who is this? This is Michael W. Smith. And I sang your song Blessings last week at a funeral and wanted to call and thank you. And I was like, okay, hey, thanks, Michael. Thanks, buddy. Okay, who is this? You know, and since then, getting to know him, it doesn't really seem real. I think a lot of it is when you have people that you've grown up remembering those late nights at home, like on a dateless nights when you're in high school at home on a Saturday night and you got your jam box with you and you're singing along to I will be here for you somewhere in the night, somewhere in the night. I'll shine a light for you somewhere in the night. I'll be standing by. I will be here for you. These people are larger than life. So for me to kind of join, and not that I'll ever be a Michael W. Smith or Stephen Curtis Chapman, but for me to even join that catalog of songs that take people, that walk people through their hardest moments. I will never get used to people, I probably can't even talk about without crying. I've had so many people tell me about singing the song Blessings after they have walked, singing it at their church after they've walked through cancer, singing at their church after they've walked through infertility, things like that. It's just such a great honor. I have a lot of artists, you know, are just always trying to, like, my next single, my next song, you know, it's not wrong to have new music coming out, but I always think, if I never got to be part of any other special song other than Blessings, that was far more than I ever deserved. Getting to have that, just that window into how God works through music. Yeah.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things.
Blessings, would that be another game changer in the career?
Definitely. You know, the Grammy, that was even just a very weird thing. We weren't even going to go. It was just so weird to us. But it ended up, I had an event that was already scheduled in the LA area the Saturday night before the Sunday night of the Grammys. It was just this bizarre thing. So I was literally already in town and I was pregnant. And the reason why this is important is because, A, I had to find a dress that was big enough for my big pregnant belly. And secondly, I remember sneaking a 6-inch sub sandwich in my purse, sneaking it into the Grammys because I was so concerned that I was going to be hungry. Here I am in this like tent dress with this bag with sandwiches. Like I... nothing screamed, you don't belong here, like this scenario I'm explaining to you. I was like one of the first names they called out. It was just, the whole thing was really surreal. And then we went to the after party and there were women like dancing on tables in bikinis. And we were like, oh, I think I'm done here. I think I'm ready to go home. This is just weird. But even as a Christian artist winning a Grammy, or I'd say more than that, as a worship leader that's on staff at a church that really has like our church, our philosophy, you know, everyone's gift's important. Everyone, you know, it's the offering of your gifts up to God. Like, we don't give awards for like best vocalist in our choir. It's not really what we feel like is close to the heart of God. And so it was kind of weird for me to process it. But the thing that I wasn't expecting was just the doors it began to open for not just Christian media outlets, but like a Grammy, since it's such a culturally prized award. There were a ton of secular news outlets that I began to be able to share my faith on. And so it ended up being a really great thing. So that's kind of the award side of it, just because you mentioned it. But really the greatest gift, this sounds like the obvious answer, but the greatest gift is just seeing how God has used it in people's lives. And people will always say, Kali, you wrote that song for me. And I always say, like, I'm thinking in my mind, you have no idea. I wrote that song for me because God knew it wasn't a bunch of truths that I had mastered that I'd like to impart to someone else. It was the very promises of God that I was grappling with in my life, and the things that he knew that I needed to sing night after night to help myself believe.
'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life, all your mercies in disguise?
When you were at the Grammys, did you have a moment of, oh my gosh, there's...
Yes, yes. They did there was a duet moment with Bruce Hornsby and Bonnie Raitt. I was confused. I was like, "What is this, heaven? This is..." Imagine me like eating my sub sandwich at the Grammys listening.
For some reason, I picture the sandwich still in the purse as it's being snuck. Not fully out of, but still in the purse.
Yeah, and I'm trying to lean over so it's not conspicuous, but I have this huge belly, so I can't. And then I thought, hey, what are they going to do, not invite me back? Like, I'm just going to eat my sandwich. Yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Subway.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's talk about marriage for a second. I've met your husband, Martin. How is he?
He's great. For anyone that doesn't know, so Martin was diagnosed with a brain tumor. It's been a little over 10 years ago and had brain surgery, came out of it with some pretty substantial complications, limitations. So he lives with a vision deficit and a memory deficit. So it's just been a lot. You know, you think, okay, my husband has a brain tumor. We're going to go in and have it removed so we can kind of get back to life as we knew it before. But really nothing could be further from the truth when it comes to that, because our lives have been altered, you know, with the complications and with his disabilities that he has suffered because of the surgery and the tumor. But Martin, I mean, like, you've met him, Corey, he's not going to let this steal his joy. And we've certainly had some dark moments, and it's certainly been hard, but he is just trying to stay thankful for what he has. You know, he's unable to drive, unable to work full time, but he's a great dad. He's working now at our church's coffee shop, and he's just, like, I think that people, I know I'm biased because he's my husband, I would guess that people come into the coffee shop for his smile and his encouraging words to them just as much as they do the coffee. I mean, their coffee's not that good. They want to see the hot barista. But even that, you know, with his memory deficit, he's had to work hard even get to the point of, you know, been able to do the barista job. And so that's been cool to see him really persevere there. And so our family looks really different. I know people are like, wow, that wasn't very bright to have four kids, you know, when your husband has a disability. But he's a fantastic dad. And the six of us, yeah, our lives look a lot different than most people. A lot of times we have to go at a slower pace. A lot of times people just, like, things just look different. But man, it's been such a sweet thing to see God just kind of carrying us along in the midst of, you know, kind of the aftermath of brain tumor and stuff.
When I first met you and your husband, Martin went to use the restroom, and
yes,
you
I know exactly where this is going.
You leaned into my wife and I and said, there might be a possibility when he gets back, he doesn't remember who you are. Does that sound about right?
Yes. Or even if nothing else, it would be that he has no idea where the table is. Like, so, you know, we'll be, because it's hard to really understand. It's not that he's never forgetting me. He's never forgetting things like that. But we go into a restaurant and he's, oh, I left my glasses in the car. And he'll say, where's the car? You know, and like, literally, we've been in the restaurant for 5 minutes, but he has no idea where the car is. And a lot of it is just, he's learning a kind of a memory conservation also. Really, that's not an important detail in life to remember. And so just, it's 1,000 things like that. It's that he has his phone with 1,000 little reminders on it. It's a time conception deficit as well, because really that's how you keep track of time, is through your memory. So I remember at first he was taking like 30, 40 minute showers. Our water bill was skyrocketing because he was like, wash, like shampoo, conditioner, shampoo again, conditioner. And it was like, finally, Martin, you got to get out of the shower, honey. Like, we can't get anywhere on time. And like 45 minutes late places. And even for him to get to a place where he's highly functional and able to even like handle some of the kids' stuff, it's just huge for him. And he's great at it and has such a great attitude about it, too.
He's not forgotten who you are. He's not forgotten who the kids are. That's still intact.
Correct. Even though when he first came out of surgery, he didn't know we were married. He remembered me from high school, but he kept on asking questions like, so what are you doing here? Did you ever get married? It's like, yeah, I did. I'm not sure how to break this to you. I know that you just had brain surgery. I don't know how much bad news you can take, like in your fragile medical state. But I'm your wife. Fortunately, every time I'd remind him that we were married, he would get really excited and happy about it, which that's just good news.
And leads to probably four children. Let's just say it out loud.
Yes. See, that's what I like about your podcast. You're just keeping it real.
I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah.
8, 6, 6, and 2 as we record this. 2 6-year-olds?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh. Yes. Craziness. Anyone that has twins knows it's, and twin boys, they're just so much energy. They got a note sent home the other day from school because they were fighting over their favorite urinal. Okay. They were fighting over their favorite urinal. Only twin boys get those kind of notes sent home.
Who won that fight?
Griffin's like my feeler. He's just so sweet. He did not mean to use Ben's urinal. Ben's like, if he's mad, he just punches you. He's like, shoot first, aim later. It's just kind of who he is. Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that the children have the front row to their parents. So who did he learn that from? You or Martin? Respond.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I think it was more that there were two of them and we were so overwhelmed. We let Josie, our older daughter, we let her teach them a few things. And that probably was probably Josie's influence.
May I speak to Laura Story, the author, for a moment?
Absolutely.
Do you enjoy writing books?
I do. And it's been kind of not too recent, past 5 or 6 years. So after the song Blessings came out, and I would share about kind of the story about Martin's health issues and just kind of the broken road that we've been limping down. So many people would say, I want to be able to share that story with someone else. Cause it really did make the song kind of made more sense once you understood where it came from. And I had a publishing company approach me about, you know, would you be willing to do a book? And I thought, you know, we're touring. I can't imagine having the bandwidth to write a book. And it was around that time that we found out we were having twins. And then a few months later, I got put on bed rest with the twins. And I thought, oh, this is God telling me, look, you have time. There you go.
How long were you resting in bed?
Like the actual bed rest, 1 month. But it was also just taking it easier than I was used to taking it.
Pump the brakes. And
yeah, exactly. So that was the first book, and it was called When God Doesn't Fix It. And then did another book, kind of a follow-up to that, called I Give Up, which is a book on surrender. But what I'm super excited about now, I have a book coming out in July, again with HarperCollins. They've just been great partners. And it's called So Long Normal. And I wrote a song that goes with it called Hello Unknown. And it really, it's about, you know, it's kind of about what we've walked through over the past year, like just as a earth. I was going to say as a country. No, as an earth. But it's more than that. It's about, you know, how do we face an unknown future without like having an anxiety attack every time we think about it? You know, how do we get excited about the future that God has even when it's unknown, even when there's so much uncertainty? And it really, it looks at different people throughout the scripture that you actually see, rather than being the exception, it's actually the norm when God calls people to step out to these unknown futures where he really has something incredible in store for them. They just need to have the faith to believe even when they can't see it. So I have this picture of a radio tour happening this summer to promote the book. It's just, you know, kind of waiting on seeing how all the COVID stuff is going, whether people want me and my germ-infested kids to come and overrun their station. I don't understand why they wouldn't want that. It's just...
Can they stay in the car? I'm asking for a friend. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I've absolutely enjoyed these moments with you because it's been way too long, Laura Story.
Absolutely. Well, and hopefully we'll get to hug it out in person at some point in time. But it's great to see you and hope your family's doing well. It's always, I'll say something a little bit cheesy. You know, doing this radio thing for so long, there have been a few guys that have just been such an influential part of the radio scene as a whole. And you are one of those guys. Artists love getting together with you because you're just real. And listeners love hearing from you because you're just encouraging them from a very real place. Don't cut that out of the podcast just because you don't like when people say nice things about you.
Are you kidding me? That's going to be the first thing they hear.
You're going to have it on loop.
All the way in the front. Once
I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to be like, hey, I thought we were talking about me.
What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network? Leave some feedback. Write a review. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network?
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.